Ever since the large meatpacking plants moved from places like Kansas City and Chicago, rural Midwestern towns have been dealing with a huge influx of immigrants. Harvest Public Media has profiled how two towns are taking care of the children of these new workers. In the third and final installment of our series, In the Shadow of the Slaughterhouse, Peggy Lowe and Abby Fentress Swanson report on how these kids are hoping to achieve the American dream, moving out of the shadows and into a bright future. We open in Garden City, Kansas, with Peggy Lowe.
On this warm fall morning, two young women, Bin Hua and Mai Nguyen, are in a chemistry lab at the Garden City Community College campus. Both are wearing protective goggles, their long black hair pulled back into ponytails, and they're ready when the teacher brings the class to order.
All right, busters, good morning. It's 8:59, so we'll go ahead and start the math.
These Vietnamese 18-year-olds don't look like Bronc Busters, or Busters, the college mascot, a reflection of this Old West town's history of raising cattle. But they have both benefited from the beef industry since their parents settled here to work in the Tyson meatpacking plant. These best friends are on a fast track, completing high school in 3 years, hoping for associate degrees next year, and then on to a university.
We really like to graduate early because we think high school wasn't challenging enough, and we was looking for a challenging courses and stuff.
And plus, like, each year you get 8 credits and you need only 26 and a half credits to graduate. We went ahead and graduate early.
Just to reward ourselves with more college.
Yeah, and we get a head start in college.
Bin and Mai are the newest chapter in an age-old American story. Since the days of the jungle, immigrants have fueled the factories of the U.S. meatpacking industry. Here in Garden City, Bin's folks both work the late shift. Her father on the hot, bloody kill floor, her tiny mother using a sharp knife to cut the hulks of beef. Bin knows it's a sacrifice.
My mom and dad just always said that I'm doing this for you.
Don Stull is a University of Kansas anthropologist who has studied Garden City and other meatpacking towns for 3 decades. He says the slaughterhouse has always offered new Americans a platform for upward mobility.
Certainly in the second generation, the children of those workers often, because of the hard work of their parents, are able to go to college and then establish careers that don't require them to labor as hard in such a distasteful environment as their parents did.
Statistics point, of course, to the increasing diversity and poverty of meatpacking towns. But government agencies don't track the children of these slaughterhouse workers. We do know their legal status can make a difference. Refugee kids have a ready path to citizenship. And immigrant children who have attained citizenship have many more options than the undocumented. Reporter Abby Fentress Swanson saw that firsthand when she met up with some of the kids who may stay in the shadows.
Hopefully I get good drivers.
Tonight in Knoll, Missouri, an 18-year-old high school senior with a slight mustache and glasses is doing laundry. His name is Oscar, and we won't share his last name because he is undocumented. Oscar was born in Mexico and brought here by his mom without papers when he was 2. Outside the laundromat, Oscar talks to me about his future and why the local Tyson plant, where his mom worked deboning chicken, is not the place for him.
Every time she came home, her feet were hurt, her hands were hurt, her back were hurt. It got me sad because she was in pain.
His stepdad worked at the plant, too, up until he lost 4 fingers in a machine accident. Still, Oscar's parents suggested he could get a job at the plant.
But I told them, no, I heard of things about you always wake up hurt, you don't wake up right, basically. So that's why I'm working in the restaurant. I'd rather work in a restaurant than a chicken plant anytime.
We have a little joke in the classroom that is called, are you going to the University of so-and-so without saying the name of the poultry plant?
Alive Espinosa, who herself emigrated here from Mexico, teaches English as a second language at Oscar's High School.
Are you going to the University of this other plant name? So I said it is a good choice, but I think you can do better than that. Your parents are already doing the hard labor. It is up to you to do better.
But college is not an easy option for undocumented students because most applications and financial aid forms require a Social Security number. Here's McDonald County High Principal Greg Leach.
We have teachers every year that are brokenhearted because they have this student in class that has so much talent and so much ability, and now they're going to go work in the poultry industry because they can't get into college. It's nothing against the poultry industry. It's just the fact that these kids have so much more potential, but they can't go anywhere with it.
Leach says they encourage their students without papers to apply for Deferred Action for Childhood Arrival Status, or DACA, partly because it allows most applicants to attend college legally for 2 years. Immigration reform advocates want Congress to pass the DREAM Act, which would provide a path to legal status for many young immigrants. But the time is now for Oscar. He plans to apply for DACA status, and his dream is to one day be a mechanic.
I've been trying to be an optimistic person, always trying to see the glass half full. Right after high school, I will be the first of my family to go to college. That's what motivates me right now, to finish high school and everything.
That's what these kids of meatpacking workers are hoping for, a shot at the American dream and a move out of the shadows of the slaughterhouses that paved their way here. For Harvest Public Media, I'm Abby Fentress-Swanson, along with Peggy Lowe.